Welcome to the Feast of the Life. For time is upon us in the Spirit, for to admit and receive matured sons of the sanctuary into the true tabernacle. Fruits must be born for to be sickled in, and no soul must appear empty. It is therefore time for every soul to bestow labors, joining forces with the Lord of the harvest, for to receive the rains and showers of blessings upon our lands, so that we can bear forth fruit unto life everlasting at the close of this age in His own great harvest. Welcome to the table prepared of the Lord, that you might be feasted unto fruiting. Stay blessed by this ministration from Love Seal Church and receive grace for holy engagements in prayers and obedience. Stay connected.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to my experience. As our Father in the house have directed, we will continue with that which He has set for the end of the year. You know, we'll be reviewing the great meetings that we have had in the house, you know, for the past few weeks and months. You know, it's been so much blessing. It's been so much rain, you know, so much atmosphere of the Spirit, so much knowledge, so much push against the enemy. If there's anything God is mindful of doing this season, is pulling the dragon down. And the dragon will fall in everyone's life in the name of Jesus. So once again this morning, we'll be reviewing SOGAC, you know, Family and Couples Weekend, and Anamnesis, you know, teachings, you know, as the Lord will give us, you know, grace. There are powerful men of God and women of God on this list. Amen. Can you put hands together for Brother Gilbert Odumoso?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Saz. Good morning, Mars. Good morning, church. We thank God for how He has blessed us so far in the year. Thank God for our daddy and our mommy in the house. It's called my experience. So SOGAC. How was SOGAC really? SOGAC was fine. SOGAC was amazing. And I remembered when Daddy first said we're going to have the meeting. You know, at first I was thinking that the theme of the meeting was Spirit of Grace and Glory. You know, I remembered all of those times when we'll be having meeting with Daddy as regards the upcoming meetings and how to, you know, plan towards them in terms of like social media campaign and publicity and all that, you know. And really, all what was in my mind at that time was, what's SOGAC about? Like, what are we to expect? That Spirit of Grace and Glory, really. I honestly didn't know. I, like, very blank. I'm very sure that most people too were blank about that time, about what Spirit of Grace and Glory was supposed to be. You know, but from August in Believers Convention, where the theme was the Son of God is come, you know, one emphasis from Believers Convention was that the Son of God is come is a dispensation, and He has come, and you know, there are things that He's going to unveil, and there are things that He's set to do amidst us. So somewhere there I had this sort of inclination that whatever it is we are going to be doing after Believers Convention will be tied to what the Son of God is come to do, you know. But I think the first point where the experience began for me was one of the preparatory meetings was SOGAC, where Daddy was teaching in the house, and Daddy began talking about Matthew 24, maybe 28, I can't remember, where it says that where the carcasses, there will the eagles gather, you know. So that was where I sort of understood, because that was the first time in church where He actually began talking about the Feast of the Lamb, how that we are going to be engaging the Feast of the Lamb in this season, and that carcass is the Lamb of God, and the eagles are meant to gather, you know, to feast on that Lamb. So that was where, at least, at the very least, a little bit of understanding about what so God was meant to be done on me. So, you know, Daddy was just around this part, and, you know, with so much passion, tenacity, Daddy was ministering with so much spirit. And, you know, he began saying that the eagles are together, we are the carcasses. And, you know, he was talking about the carcass being that slain lamb and how we are meant together. So there and then I knew that there is a feast, right? And then there is a gathering to feast on that carcass, as it were. And, you know, one thing I sensed the Lord telling me at that time was, you know, the way it is that when meetings come and really, you know, everybody's participating in that meeting. I mean, because, so, the word gathering in that verse that says, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So it tells me that there is a gathering, and the gathering is not first of all a physical gathering. There's a gathering in the spirit. So, I mean, what that emphasized to me then was there is a place I ought also to gather, you know. There is a place that the eagles will be gathered, and the eagles will be gathered there because there is a carcass there. And, you know, that carcass is the Lamb of God, the Son of God that is come, and he's come to feast us with his person, you know. Daddy was also ministering that that carcass is his body, you know, and the whole meeting started. But I could remember that point was like where Sogag at least began for me. And, you know, so what that just instilled in me was the need to be gathered somewhere. The need to be not just attend the meeting, because, I mean, I knew that when the Feast of the Lamb starts, you know, there would be a place where the people of God will be gathered, you know, to feast. And I must just, if at all, if I would do myself any good as it pertains to the Feast of the Lamb, I must just be gathered there as well, you know. And that became like a burden and an anchor through that season, that everything I was, you know, fellowshipping with around that time was just to help me, if by mercy I would just, you know, be gathered together with the eagles that would, you know, feast on the carcass, which is the Lamb of God that has come to feast us, you know. So that was the major thing from Sogag for me. And talking about family and couples weekend, it was that meeting that we needed very much, but we didn't know that we needed, you know. It came at a time when we had had several meetings, of course. We had had several meetings in the year. We had had SMFLX. We had had several other meetings, you know, and it's the end of the year where people are beginning to wind down already. And all of a sudden, you know, we have family. I think it was like a week or 2 weeks before that meeting that it really dawned on me that somewhere there, family and couples weekend, I just felt, oh, it's going to be a nice time for the couples. And I think it started when Daddy started preparing us for the meeting, you know, on that Wednesday. And, you know, one of the things that stood out was when Daddy said, who told us that family is meant to be father, mother, and children, you know. And for the first time, as in, that was a very big one on my mind, because, I mean, I'd grown up, you know, from primary school, learning what nuclear family is and, you know, what they taught us in school, really, father, mother. And all of a sudden, I mean, Daddy, you know, showing us patterns from scriptures that pattern that they taught us in social studies is not God's order of what a family should be. All of a sudden, I was just angry at my primary school teachers. I was just angry at the school fees my parents paid. I mean, like, why would they pay so much money for them to lie to me? Like, I felt cheated at that point. And, you know, that was the way I felt, really, because, and you know, even that made me even question the many other things that, you know, they are taught us. And, you know, I just see how that thing is subtly kept in the system just, you know, to question or to configure us against God's designed order from the beginning. You know, for someone like me that, for example, living in Bethel, and, you know, there's a way that, just look forward to that time when, I mean, I know I won't always be in Bethel, right? Like, no matter, even if it's 5 years, if it's 6 years, 7 years, I won't always be in Bethel. You know, that I just tell these guys, I told them that all these things, is only for a time. It won't be forever, right? But When I say it's only for a time, somewhere dear, there's still a way that in my mind, I'm still looking forward to that time when it's just going to be me, my wife, and my kids, you know. That's the way it just looks so arranged, right? But then, in that meeting, you know, was like the first thing that got shattered as regards, you know, that definition of what a family should be, that definition of what a family should look like, and, you know, it cascaded into Reverend Busui talking about fatherhood. And I remember, you know, some days before then, I'd been having these thoughts in my heart as regards fatherhood, as regards, you know, what's that balance, especially looking at how children are now. Like, the way we were raised, like, somewhere there, I don't think even the children in this age can be raised that way. Like, what we knew as, shall I say, our parents raising us, like, your dad belt thing is normal. Like, you live for the belt, right? I mean, they're asking us to go out, but you know that if you go out, you'll be belted. But somewhere there, the joy of this present time, they just say with in fact, somewhere there, when you're coming back from that journey, you know it's belt or something. In fact, there was a time I graduated from belts like Koboko, right? Well, I just knew it that I won't shall die on this thing, shall I? But somehow, I just see that kids these days, there is a way that it's gradually becoming strange to, I mean, I think some schools now, you have more, shall I say, Montessori schools where they don't use cane. And so what I was just thinking about is, what's that balance? Like, doesn't mean that children are not to be beaten again, you know, but, you know, Reverend Busui, you know, made the balance. You know, Reverend Busui said things like, you don't expect a child naturally to do what is right. And, you know, somewhere there, I think it's their expectation, because how I can relate with it is, at least being the firstborn, I have two younger, like, blood siblings, and there is also a way that at certain points in time, I expect certain things from them. I don't expect them to do certain things. And when I see them do those things, I'm like, why? Like, why will you do this? I don't expect you to do it. And sometimes it gets me upset. Sometimes it gets, most times, you know, you just want to address it headlong. You are doing this thing is wrong and it's not meant to be, and you just want to correct it there and then, you know. But one thing Reverend Busui also mentioned was how that fatherhood experience is also meant to, you know, deal with your own soul. It's meant for your own salvation, and how it's meant to make you patient, it's meant to make you compassionate and all, you know. So how I could relate with that is, you know, I remembered, you know, just one of the examples, you know, I can give. I remembered my younger sister, and some months ago, I can't remember what it is that she did, and I was trying to correct it. Like, in my mind, it was very wrong. It was very bad. Like, why will you do this? And I wanted to lash at it with that same way I was seeing it. But just engaging her, I saw that there was no way she was going to understand what I was saying at that point. I knew it was wrong, and I knew communicating it to her in that way I was feeling would get her offended, you know. So I knew to not attack it at that time. I knew to be patient with it. And, you know, for some very interesting reasons, you know, we were together in the house just 2 days ago, and I just found out chance to visit that same matter. And it was a very interesting conversation. And, you know, at the end of the day, she was just like, thank you. And I'm very sure that at that point, you know, I would have addressed the same. The matter lingered for some months, right? But, I mean, what that taught me also was to be patient, you know, how that issue that you're saying, you know, they would outgrow it, and then they will come to see what you're saying better, you know. So somewhere there, as it is now, the fatherhood experience I can relate with, first of all, is my siblings, right? And so that's just my experience as regards that. And lastly, for anamnesis, it's okay. I think one of the sessions that stood out for me in anamnesis that sort of summarizes the whole burden, you know, the Sunday way. One of those sessions was the grand finale, you know, and one of the key highlights from that meeting was the need to respond with haste. You know, it began teaching Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 and Revelation 22 verse 7, I think, you know, juxtaposing that, you know, blessed is it that, okay, that read it and they that hear. And, you know, 22 verse 7 says, blessed are they that keep, you know, the word of this prophet. Keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You know, so a lot of emphasis was placed on keeping, and you know, much more. You know, one of the things that Reverend was saying was that they have come to give us speed. You know, so that night, you know, I mean, a sort of understanding came to me about, you know, some things I had already began to experience in the months before that time. You know, from I think like August this year, I've just been unusually burdened in ways that I have not been before that time. And, you know, the sort of burden was demanding that there would be a lot of shifts in the way I respond to the Lord, in the way I engage meetings in house and all that, you know. And I've just been trying in the little bit, and I must confess that I found grace, you know, in that, you know. But that night, you know, I began understanding how, I mean, it was that night I now understood that, okay, since when the Son of God had come in August, those dealings that had been coming had actually been speed, because in ways I wouldn't have responded before, you know, I started finding grace to respond better, you know, even though there are baby steps, right? And, you know, there are ways to respond even much more, you know. But what that night, you know, gave to me was the understanding of the season that we are in, that the Son of God is coming at a very high speed, and it requires a speedy response as well. It requires a quick response as well. So that's, you know, gave me a sort of understanding to place more labor, you know, on that sort of response I think I'm already generating, on the need to now, you know, respond even quicker, you know. And I think that just caps the entire experience for me. So, I mean, it's very beautiful that the year is ending on this note. But again, I'm looking forward to 2025 where, you know, I mean, we still have bootcamp coming, and I can just imagine the loads of blessings the Lord already has in stock, you know. So those are my, you know. Thank you so much, Saz and Yaz.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Gilbert, you know, for that testimony. No doubt about it. The Lord is coming quickly, and our response should be swift. You know, Brother Gilbert quoted is it Matthew? You know, that where the carcass is, the eagles. You can see the good eagles is in plural, and the carcass is in singular, you know. So that means that we are all, you know, the feast is prepared for everyone, except you are not an eagle. Except you want to be a vulture. So if you're an eagle, you know, and before that scripture, they actually said that as the lightning comes from the east to the west. Matthew 24:27. Say, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west. Say quickly. Is there anything faster than light? I think light is the fastest. So God again is re-emphasizing it here. He said, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, and I said, wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagle will gather. So know that about it. In this season, our response must be, you know, swift. You know, we must do short works, because the Lord himself is not missing word. You know, before Revelation is written, the same Lord already given the same experience here. You know, we have a reference to follow. And we must be deliberate about it. That's one thing I tell myself these days. It won't fall on you by and by. And responding shortly won't come at you at your own willingness. But you can be sure that you'll find the carcass. And what's the carcass? At that point of engagement, at that place of contradiction, at that place of offense, at that place of hurt, you know, the carcass will be there. You know, when Pastor Mustafa was teaching, you know, what was just coming to me was, man, until the real knowledge I actually need is the knowledge that God is preparing everything for my salvation. And when I see offense that is actually a syllabus to save me, I will respond in a different way. I will not keep offense, because I will know that they actually brought it my way to actually eliminate that thing from my life. But most of the time, we don't see it that way. You know, you see the other person, but actually it is you they set the exam for. So salvation is the core entirety of everything that we go through. From SOGAG, you know, to family and couple weekend, you know, to our nemesis, God is interested in saving all of us. And our eyes must be open, because lightning is fast. And you know that lightning comes with thunder. Lightning comes with thunder. And lightning is understanding. And thunder is voices. And both of them travel together. Why? To feast on the what? On the carcass. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless every one of us in Jesus' name. I'll put hands together for Sister Damaris Christopher. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, my brethren. I came to share my experience. You know, like I was told to, at the beginning of the year, one of the things that, you know, one of my heart's cry to the Lord is that I want to be properly built. I don't want to be deformed. You know, there's a way that you can be growing and then, you know, maybe one part of your body is not growing well. You know, maybe your leg or your hand. And I know that I cried to the Lord that I want to be well built. And I told the Lord that I don't mind him coming very strong on me, you know, this year. But every vitamin, every nutrient I need for this journey, that I don't want him to spare me. I want to get all of it. And so I know that, you know, one of the things that the Lord said to me was that he was going to come at different points. His coming was not, you know, just going to be once. He will come and come and come. And, you know, one of the places that he came was, you know, during Togag. One of the wisdoms that we got, you know, during Togag was that the original intention for God to man is that he wants us to be lambs. You know, if we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Okay, and God said, let us make man in our image, you know, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So it means that his original intention for me is that he wants me to, if I'm going to be like him, because the lamp is his nature. So it means that the original, so it means my essence here on earth is to be like God. And you know, that is not something that can happen in one day because, you know, by virtue of how we have lived, by virtue of how I have lived, you know, I've been eating the world. You know, we are either eating life, you know, that's Christ, or we are eating the world. You know, and I know that one other thing he said to me was that, you know, by obedience, you know, when my instruction or commandment come and you obey, you change, you know, like your nature change. I know that one instruction he gave me so strongly this year was obedience. Obedience to the conversations that come out from our spiritual authority, you know, from daddy and mommy. Obedience to my husband. You know, there's a way daddy can bring up, you know, certain things. Okay, we are going to do this today. And, you know, somewhere in your mind, you just be murmuring that daddy, as in, is it the same heaven that we are all going to? You know, but I know that I got sharp rebukes at different points, you know, from the Lord. And he said, you want to change, you know, obey. I can remember one of those days, you know, it was, you know, during the prayers. You know, we had the time we were praying in the morning, at different, you know, time. And I can remember it was around 8:30. I was done with school runs. And the prayer was going on. And, you know, I was trying to eat. So I will eat and I'll be doing, you know, and I got a very sharp rebuke from the Lord that is an instruction. You know, it's not just about, okay, I'm praying. But are you engaging that prayer time? So that was how it came, you know, for me. So another picture that the Lord showed me, you know, about his coming to me is, you know, this is a building. And if you have anybody, you know, who maybe a civil engineer or something, if they want to check how strong the building is, they will come, they can tap here to hear a particular sound. They can come and tap here again to hear a particular sound. So there's a particular kind of sound. There's a way I should be sounding. So the Lord said, if he comes and do like this, okay, this particular side is okay. And he comes to my patient level and knock. I will be like, ha, this is not sounding like a healthy building or a strong building. And so what would they do? They will crumble it. They will break it. And then they will begin to feel it. So that breaking and feeling is the instructions that come, the commandments that come to me, so that I can measure up. And you know that that thing that happens is not just one off. If you are living in a building, okay, so this is a one-story building. This is, you know, the ground floor. The way you will see, if you are downstairs, is not the same way somebody who is upstairs will see. So the first floor, the person that is on the second floor, the way the person will see is different from the way you that is on the ground floor will see. So Lord said to me that as light is shining, he will keep coming. And as I'm making progress, he will keep coming. Praise the Lord. Another thing that, you know, was, you know, very profound for me during SOGAG was the fact that I'm not journeying alone. We are a design company and we are supposed to go, you know, journey together. Yes, we have our different dealings, you know, and those dealings are meant to enlarge us, but really, we are supposed to journey together. You know, one of the striking examples that, you know, Pastor Emeka gave was the relay race. You know, people were running. You know, everybody, you are running. You want to make a mark. You know, you want to win maybe first place, gold, or whatever. But he said that, you know, while they were running, one of the men that were running fell because he was already tired. And it was okay for the other person at his back to run past him. Because, I mean, we are all running. But he stopped and carried him, you know. And, you know, when I was, you know, thinking about that, it reminded me of what, you know, Mama said. I think it was during our women's prayer, that we should know that we are a company and we are all joining together. So can we look out for each other? You know, it's not just okay that, okay, yes, me, I'm growing. But is my sister growing? Is my brother growing? Because it's not just about, okay, we are going to get the prize. Maybe if you grow, maybe you take. No, it's about the nature. Because the truth is that if we are joining alone, there are certain natures that will never drop from us. It can never drop from us. But by virtue of me having certain people in my life, I'm joining together. I'm also watching out for. So by virtue of me watching and looking out from there, certain things in me will also drop. So that would also take me to the family weekend. One of the things that really got me, you know, during our family weekend was when Daddy mentioned that my family, I'm personalizing it because it's my own, my marriage and my family is for redemption. You know, I used to think that how will it be if it was just Abraham and Sarah? Because they stayed years before they had Isaac. How would they have been? It's just the two of them. You know, I used to imagine that how did they do it? Having so many people around him, I'm sure they would have gone through certain, you know, different experiences by virtue of living. Even, you know, as in Sarah, her mother, she would have gone through different experiences. So redemption, it's good to get married. I am enjoying my husband. But beyond that, I should also know that there is a plan that God has for my home. So can God trust me? You know, that's the question that has been. Can God trust me enough, you know, to bring somebody who have been bound or somebody who have been desolate for many generations and bring the person to my home and trust that his redemption plan for that person will find expression through my home? And that's one question that has been, you know, it has just been there. You know, because there's a way you can live together with brethren and you'll be like, I'm not doing again. To be sincere, just say, I am not doing again. Because, you know, in our company here, it's peculiar to our company here. We have people who come to stay with us. In other companies, it's not it. But where we found, this is where I find myself. And what's the order? Is that people come. And you know, Daddy has been talking about households, and because God has planned for everybody. So even our young brothers and our young sisters, as you are getting married, also have in mind that there are people who are tied to the loins of your union. There are people who are tied to the to the loins of your marriage. So can God trust me enough to know that I will bring this person to Pastor Abbe and Sister Damaris, and I trust that the plan, that redemption plan I have, it will find expression in this home. Come rain, come sun. So it's not even about, oh yeah, you push, come and start going, oh, okay, I will give you 2 years. After 2 years, you stay in my house, just carry yourself and be going. No. As they are living, was that redemption plan, was it carried out? Or did they just come and waste time? Or mark time in your home? So that's, for me, that was a big one. And I'm still trusting God for help, for grace, you know, to be able to allow that expression. Because I know that Daddy had, you know, mentioned that in 2025, he's mentioning a lot about households. Household is also part of this, because there are a lot of people that the Lord is going to be bringing, you know, into our midst in this season. Praise God. Then for anamnesis, you know, one of the major emphases of anamnesis was that the Son is the way. So the Son is the way to the Lord. Now, before, if I want to get to God, I have to go through the Son. But it's not just about going through him. It's allowing his nature be formed in me. So the experiences he had, everything, I have to allow the Son. I will not just pass through the Son, but I have to allow the Son also pass through me. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen. When she was talking, the scripture that came to my mind was the 144,000. You know, you can't run the race alone. Some people have run that race and they have to wait. So if you choose to run it alone now, you will still wait. So why don't you carry your brethren along? Because when they measured the city, you know, it was 144. And when they sealed, it was also 144. Amen. Even said when they sealed the tribes have to wait for multitude, which Reverend Ellen actually mentioned. Mommy Ellen mentioned. Hallelujah. So that means that running the race alone is actually detrimental to myself. Amen. So one of the ways that God has... wisdom that God has put in you running the race together with brethren is family. So you cannot be tired of family. Tell your neighbor, I cannot be tired of brethren. Tell your neighbor, I'm not giving up. The devil will not worry me. Say, I have faith. I have love in my heart to journey with my brother and my sister, and when we arrive, a city of God. Hallelujah. Had you destroyed desolation of many generations, you yourself would have changed. That's the truth. You know, destroying desolation of many generations in a soul can't leave you the same. They will have altered you also to what? To conform to that which heaven wants you to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you expectant? Can you put us together and welcome Pastor Femi Olayinka?
Amen. Thank you so much, Daddy. Good morning, my daddies, our pastors. Good morning, Daddy and Mommy. Good morning, church. I don't know really what to say, but from Sogag, and I think Pastor Peter just mentioned, you know, the environment of where, you know, I felt there were dealings of the Lord upon my heart, you know, around the thing that have to do with the 144,000. You know, it's so much of a good news that no matter how pastor that you're on, he will still wait for me. You know, so I think that's a message of hope. Not that I'll be lackadaisical, but I know that it's a message of hope, really. You know, to just know. And I remember Pastor Mika also mentioned how from that Revelation 14, that the 144,000, when they stood with the lamb, because he kept mentioning now that the goal is to be like the lamb, you know, and he said, when they got to that point, he said, no man could learn the song, you know, and how that struck me is, a time is coming that there will be no conversation available to learn, you know, because at that time, they say no man can learn. So it means I need to learn it now, because that time will be a time of singing. And that was my own personal meditation, you know, around that message, you know, because I felt Pastor Meka really pumped a lot around that burden, you know, being like the lamb. The demand of the Lord over us now is not just to change, but time, you know. I feel that we're a generation of people who change. People have been changing, you know, from Adam till now, men have changed and changed. So what makes our generation, I mean this generation, what makes mine different is the time. It's like there is a mark I ought to meet up with, you know, in time. Because I wonder when Lambdara, Lambrolake, Lambdayo, when they are singing, and I'm saying, teach me the song, you know, teach me how to do love work. It means there are certain things we, and I feel this also where for me, that scripture, you know, that encourages us to, you know, there are things you can emulate. Love work is that thing to emulate. I stay with another Pastor Lekan, and I see the way he stretches in his love work. It's something to learn. We stay with our brothers, we stay with our sisters. You know, it's not just okay for me to say, ah, those ones are ahead. You know, what I should be extracting, you know, from living together as brethren is that my brother is learning the lamb life now. You know, and a time is coming when, Femi, you cannot learn it. So even when, okay, yes, now I want to walk in love towards my brother, I can't learn that song anymore. I have to wait for another batch and another order. So that was one thing that really I came out with Sogag with, you know, from, you know, Pastor Emeka's, you know, onboarding, that I need to learn the life of the lamb now. You know, that's my onboarding, that I cannot defer my learning. Because as good as hunger to learn is, a time is coming when I'm hungry to learn, I can't learn anymore. Say, no man was able to learn. That means Jesus is churning out a conversation. People are responding to it. I am willing to respond to it, but I can't learn it. You know, because it is not a time. It's a time when it should be a manifestation of a conversation that I've learned. And Mommy Elaine also doing Sogag was saying that the lamb state, really, we all think we want to be like the lamb. By default, I want to be like the lamb. But Mommy Elaine was able to show, you know, us how that lamb state is really where we don't want to go. Yes. You know, personally, you know, for me, growing up, you know, learning to know the Lord, it feels like, God, anything you tell me, I just want to know it is you. Once I know it is you, I will do it. You know, but the more you now grow, you now discover that you are really not interested in what you want. So, but it feels like the reason why I'm not doing it, because I don't know if it's God or not. You know, but the more you now grow, you now discover that even when you know, you don't really have a desire to do it. So then you have to change your prayer point to anything you want me to do, I will do it. You have to change it to, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. But the more I grow again, I discover that that's not even enough. You know, because a time, you just want to know if it's him, you will do it. You graduate again, it becomes, Lord, help me. You not even discover that somewhere there, when they really paint the life, you don't really like the life enough to even want the help you are asking for. All right? So you have to change that prayer point again. You know, because that was what, help me to love what you want me to do. You know? So I just feel something Mommy Elaine was highlighting is, and we saw it with Peter, where the Lord Jesus had to tell him, say, when you are old, now when you are old, that's when you mature spiritually. Naturally, you think the more I mature, the more I want to go. But Jesus will tell Peter, it's when you are old that you don't want to go there. Because the older you become, you now understand what it means to be a lamb. The death that are attached to being a lamb. You know, the deniers, the sufferings. You now discover that really, it is when you get old that you discover you don't want to be a lamb. You know, and then you now begin to seek for the mercy of the Lord unto eternal life. You know, so that's one thing I saw, you know, also, you know, that I have to start changing prayer points. You know, that when they really paint what the lamb is, you know, or if I feel I'm growing, my growth should press more into the mercy of the Lord. Because really, really, the way I am arranged, I don't want to be like the lamb. I think I want to be like, if you ask me, yes, I want to be like the lamb.
But really, when that thing is x-rayed with your growth, you now discover that it's a place. Jesus told Peter that when you get to that place, when you are old, they now have to come and take your hand and take you to a place where you don't want to go. That's really the lamb state. The lamb state is a place where I really don't want to go. And it's okay for me to reconcile the fact that it's a place I don't want to go, so that they can recognize that I have infirmity, you know, and begin to address it. So those are some of the conversations, you know, that really were harped upon my heart, you know, concerning Sogag, then moving, you know, into family weekend, Reverend Busi, very awesome. Very, very awesome, you know. It started with Daddy, when Daddy said on that Wednesday that what Satan has sold to us is nuclear family. Now, if Satan wants to expand it, we expand it to extended. It's still self. It's still me and my family. You know, both nuclear and extended, though, because life among the brethren is not extended family. It's Christ's family, you know. So, well, that thing really just left a mark in my heart. I've never seen that prison before. You know, there's some prison you have in your mind, but you don't know it's there until light just, you know, that's all with nuclear. Even they ask you how many kind of family we have. You won't say Christ family, living family. Say nuclear and extended family, you know. And then Reverend Busui came, you know, and really built, you know, a lot around that, you know, emphasizing, you know, how that Reverend Busui dwelt some, you know, concerning what it means to be a man. The mailman was really addressed. Daddy also added to it, you know, showing now that being a father is not just masculine. You know, but Reverend Busi labored some concerning being a mailman. And was saying that one of those things you have to deal with the mailman is ego, you know. And, you know, for me, I just felt the Lord just arranged an experience around that, you know, for me. You know, going home after a while into Baganda just to check on some family. You know, I needed to rush out, so I was trying to iron my clothes. My elder sister was there. You know, your elder sister does not know any PFEMs, AFEMs, TFEMs. It's Femi, right? So I was trying to iron my clothes, and maybe I had to do something. I didn't unplug. Now, my elder sister is quite meticulous, you know. So I didn't unplug the iron, but I switched off the socket. You know, she was not like, don't you know, current can still flow, this, that. I'm like, hey, calm down. I had to tell her, I finished from Mijaniki. Now, one thing I used to boast about that school is that when you go to that school as a boarder, the kind of iron you use, you can use naked wire. If you start ironing like this, this is the way you must finish, because every other place is naked wire. So I had to tell her, I finished from Mijaniki, you know, that you cannot be telling me I know about ironing. So as mundane as it is, it became a big thing, you know, between the both of us. And I think I was going for a meeting. So in my heart was telling me that, I said, I've been ironing all my life. Isn't now, at this age, you want to be telling me and teaching me, you know, I will not, the hazard around, you know. So everything just went like that. It was cold. Some of our younger cousins were there. Some of them, even these children, that, you know, I had some of my cousins that were there that, some, you know, that check, that at least, okay, maybe people can converse, you know, when they are not there. Because my other sister was like, even if you ask this, Ola, he will tell. That's why you know you are no lamb at all. You know? So that conversation, I didn't address it. You know, because I just felt I have some age naturally. I'm not a child. You should not be teaching me or correcting me concerning what I now have expertise. I learned something for 6 years. No. You know, so I left the house, attended to the day. But of course, if you have that kind of day, you know it's no day also. That thing will just be popping up somewhere. So I just think that, FM. So that day, because of that, I had to go and sleep back in the house that night. So, and then going back, it was, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. When I get there, I bought her shortbread. You know, I went back, I kissed her, so I'm a Beno, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But what am I going to with that is nothing about man ego. One of those thoughts I remember very vividly that I had that made me do that, you know, is I feel, sometimes you just feel that is my sister. When I marry, I will do it to my wife. But the thing is, if you don't do it then, you know, sometimes just when I marry, she needs to be patient, to be kind. Now I discover that it's not doctrine, it is work, you know. But that was one of the checks I had, you know, around that time, that if I don't exercise to just yank myself off that thing with my sister, I won't do it with my wife, you know. So that was some of the experience I had, you know, around family weekend,
then into anamnesis. You know, anamnesis was a very great experience, you know, for me, you know, particularly for healing, you know, because personally, I just discovered for the past 2-3 years, anytime I get to Beacon and anamnesis, the moment I step my feet there, I become sick. And this time around, you know, also, I got to camp. I was not camping initially, but the second day, you know, getting to camp. Okay, so you remember the first night, Reverend began to address things that has to do with healing. You know, it was also so clear that the Lord was evidently wanting to judge something in anamnesis concerning, you know, he said taking away in our soul and then taking certain things away in our bodies. You know, so I feel anamnesis was a ground, and I know that most is available for everyone to still latch onto. You know, coupled with the lesson we've been taking in the house, you know, I just knew that ground. I was not going there for healing, to be honest. You know, but when that emphasis came, you know, from God's servant, Reverend, you know, it was a lot of blessing. So the first night, you know, I keyed in by faith, but I didn't key in as somebody who has a need because I was fine. Until the second day, you know, when I was just telling Felix that I'm not feeling too fine. You know, I'm beginning to feel this pain again. Like, where's this thing coming from? And I was going to work. I was not living during anamnesis. During the day, I really could not stream because of distraction and all of that. It's only during the night. You know, but one thing anamnesis did for me, you know, and I feel it was coupled with the faith series that we've been having in the house, you know, that place to be dogged concerning what the Lord is giving. You know, because it was sure the Lord was not just healing, the Lord was judging. You know, and that was my experience, you know, concerning, you know, anamnesis. There had been times when I was learning, you know, learning what it is for healing through that again, that Copeland and all of that. Somewhere there, you know, I felt I had had a lot of victory in healing, you know, because I had to learn. I think I used to fall sick, you know, quite often, then learning again. And I started going year upon year, not even vitamin C, not even paracetamol. And it became a boast, you know, somewhat. So I know the Lord also wanted to address, you know, there's this boast of, I'm not using drug, I'm not using this. You know, because first year, second year, third year, fourth year, until fifth year, not even the paracetamol, I was fine. Not even vitamin C. You know, but somewhere there I felt it started becoming like a boast, you know, on my inside. Then entering into those series of year upon year of entering anamnesis, entry beacon, and then it's almost that you're just paralyzed with pain. You know, but anamnesis this year, when, you know, God's servants, you know, after every session, there were prayers in that direction. You know, I just felt the Lord was coming for me to judge that thing. Second day, the pain was still there. The third day, that's now Friday, and I was going to be camping on Friday. Friday, the pain was still there. Most time, I have to stand up. I was not just too comfortable, you know, but my experience in all of this is I saw the Lord judging that thing, you know, personally for me. I just felt, you know, when you begin to have experience like that, one thing Satan wants to do, he wants to create a pattern. You know, you just see that pattern. And I'm, you know, who even told me that it's anamnesis and beacon is Satan? You know, he just draws the graph. You begin to see the straight line. Become anamnesis year one, become anamnesis year two. You know, so I felt the Lord wanted to judge, not just bringing me into health, but to judge that impression, you know, of Satan, to judge that pattern, you know, where are we going to become again now, and I'll be expecting, you know, I tried to be dogged, I was not going to use anything, you know, but one thing that happened in anamnesis, you know, for me, that I felt that thing was judged, you know, I didn't know when I was fine. It was not like in a meeting, everything. I just knew that by grand finale, I was okay. You know, I was standing strong. I could connect better with the meeting. And I know I'm going to stand fast in that victory. Thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you all.
Hallelujah. Can somebody shout a big hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Pastor Femi said that he went back that night to go and obey the Lord. That's the journey for the season. You know, between husband and wife, within brethren, you know, church, mission house, family environment, you just have to be dogged, you know. We must begin to learn not to give the enemy a foot. And you don't want to go there. You consider the cost now, the shame, you know, all the braggado you've done in the morning, you understand? Now you are coming back in a lamb. And if God help you, now meet a goat, I want to knock you. But we just have to make up our mind to obey. Amen. you know, no matter the cost, no matter the price, no matter the shame it brings, knowing fully well, you know, all things work together for our good. I must be able to bring goodness out of everything we do. Because you can't sing a song if you have not kept the prophecy. Wow. Hallelujah. You know, this the God was telling me that, you know that song is stronger than voice, than teaching, than knowledge. Song is inward. Song actually emanates from your inside. Let me put it this way. The song that you connect with, you already have a deposit of it in you. That's why it's not every song that you sing. You understand? Deep call out to deep. The song that you connect is not that that song is new to you. Your person is actually in that song. That's why you gravitated towards it. If your person is not in that song, you will not near it. It's not make meaning to you. And the same thing also applies to when they crack jokes. You understand? What makes you to respond in laughing is that you have a deposit of that thing in you. So whenever I laugh at jokes that are ungodly, I just tell my Peter, something is wrong with you. And you know that it is involuntary. You don't tell yourself, I will laugh at this joke. But just for yourself that you've expressed yourself, when you now look at the content of the old thing and say, how can I laugh at this kind of thing? The same way with song. You know, so song is, you can't learn another person's song. It must be yours. Hallelujah. With Jesus' joy. Hallelujah. Can you welcome to my experience, Pastor Elvis Ogbonna?
Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Wow. Okay. Talking about Soga and Anamnesis, I want to bring them together. I remember mommy coming here. That's our grandmother, Mommy Helen. She was talking about the foundation of the Holy Ghost. And one thing I see about our grandmother is ability to hear God. God helped her. God helped her so much. And she had that thing of fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I know that's where that voice came from. Her hearing the voice of God did not come one day. It came through process of submission to the Holy Ghost. Through process of dealings of the Holy Ghost. As mommy was saying that day, ignited a fire back to my life. Ignited a terrain of the love of the fellowship of the Holy Ghost back to me. And that's my experience that day when mommy was teaching. He called me back. That he took me back to when we woke up early morning. 3 a.m., 2 a.m. It's like an angel or someone is tapping you. And you stand up from your bed. And the next thing you hear from your tongue is speaking in tongue. You begin to pray in tongue. You begin to wail in tongue. You know? Begin to wail in tongue, and after wailing in tongue and wailing in tongue, you begin to come into stillness. I believe this experience will help someone. You come into stillness. Come into stillness of the spirit, whereby you are still in your spirit. You are still in your spirit. That's where they begin to raise the voice of God in you. That's where they begin to find up the voice of God in you. That's where the inward weakness becomes so strong in you. You cannot sleep from 7 to 7 in the morning and you think you can come into the voice of God. Come into the witness of God. No, I don't believe that's the leading of the Spirit. If it's the God and the Holy Ghost I know, you would have been woken up so many times in the midnight, but you slept back. You just see yourself waking, and the time you check that time, you check it, it is to 3 o'clock. But you remember, today, all the whole while I went through yesterday, I beg, soon, you not sleep again. But actually, they were trying to raise you like Samuel. so that they can train you to hear the voice of God. You see, when you don't connect to the voice of God and connect to it very, very strongly, you might not do well. You come to a point, something will hold you and you will draw back. When I see some people misbehaving, I know these ones do not drink me very well. They don't know the voice of the Holy Ghost. Because I know if you can hear the voice of the Holy Ghost and obey that voice, you won't take that action that you are taking. It's a clear evidence to me to know that this person has not been groomed in the Holy Ghost. So, you know, waking you up in the morning, early time for you to pray. And sometimes, I come to the experience, Pastor, sometimes I'll be praying. Manika, bro, kataba, hebra, kataba, shabata. Before you know it, it's like something stopped me and I sleep off again. Something stopped me and I slowed down. Sometimes I was asking myself, why am I slowing down? Why that bridge? And I know before I was active, praying in tongue. Why that bridge? Until one day my eyes was open. And the Holy Ghost made me to know, you are praying in a speed. You are praying in a speed. But the Holy Ghost came and he wanted to speak to you. He wanted to show you something. He tapped you, cool down, reduce your speed. Hear what I'm saying. But by that time, you just see yourself. Instead of you to now come into stillness and pick the voice of God, you sleep back. So sometimes it happens to you, but you know the template of the spirit. You just be praying, Malika, Brukata, Bahika, Baga, 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 before you know it, you are doing like this. But actually, that is the time of your visitation. That tongue you were speaking, you were connected to God. But now God is trying to connect to you. And God does not like noise. God speaks in still voice. He comes with stillness. When they are bringing the stillness of the Holy Ghost upon you, so that you can connect to the voice of God, you begin to sleep. So many can pray and pray and pray and pray. After praying, tell them what did God say. They didn't have anything to say. But actually, the voice of God was roaming in that atmosphere. The voice of God was all over the place. But the receiver does not have a tuner to tune to that voice. And the tuner was to come still. When you hear God, you will go far. So when mommy said those things, it took me back again. Pastor Femi was talking about the healing that was said in Anamnesis. I want to bring everything together. And now, you know, all those programs flame up something in me. It flame up something to bring me to the past. Like Pastor Mustafa has been teaching about faith towards God and love unto the old set. When that operation of faith towards God began to come to me, when I began to receive that thing, man, God helped me to connect to it. But I can tell you, you cannot walk towards that faith towards God. You cannot move towards love of all the saints if you are not okay with this. You must be able to discern the inward witness, which is the elementary and common and safe way to hear God. When you begin to take action and your inward begin to tell you, stop. Your inward begin to tell you, you know, you begin to see peace, leave your inward. That is God speaking to you. That is God speaking to you. I remember when I began to, you know, we take speaking in tongue so common. We take speaking in tongue common. But that thing you see speaking in tongue, Jesus. Do you know? Let me tell you an experience. I lived in a house. Beside it was a clinic where they give birth to children. There are some things you cannot tell me about God that we believe. I've tasted something about milk of the world that made me know God is real. Do you know that many children died in that clinic? still birth. They will just give birth to children. The woman will just come and call me. Pastor, I'm going to school. I will just get there. You see a child turning like brown. And you will see coming by speaking in tongue. That's why when they say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Nothing comes in contact with that river and will not live.
Shapodongala fia frudumunush. Miheto fai nambala. If you do do shomarani, senemen life. Experience life. Oh, delve in. Go in. For there is your own experience. Your own experience is also there. You need to experience life. You need to live. You need to live again. You need to live again. Oh, take off these waters, engage these waters, and come into your own experience, come into your own living, for there is a way prescribed, there is a manner, for calling back to life, for taking away sin and death, even from you. Engage these waters. For life lies therein. Engage. Delve in fully, and you will live. You will live indeed. Nothing comes in and stays dead. Deuminosia. Life must found, saith the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. This sign shall follow you. It's for everyone. We thank God. I will pray. And before you know it, once I see that, and there is mucus coming out of the nose, once it comes out of the nose, that child is living. That's how I know that child is okay. Before you know it, that child color begins to change back. You see, these things, we don't know how many things are locked up inside of us. There are things locked up. Is, you know, Pastor Tosi says something, that there is a grace of healing that was held in the body of Christ. God is releasing them now. And it's not ordinary that our grandfather is talking about it again. It will come back to the church. And it's men that will carry this thing that we are talking about. Let's open Revelation 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices. You know, Daddy K was saying some things here that he was shouting. He was caught in the spirit. Appearance. I will appear. I will kill. He was talking about thundering also. Talking about the horses. You know, the thunderings are also beings in heaven. You see, when Daddy was talking all those things, they were opening another thing again to me. They brought it in a smaller form. They brought lightning, thundering, and voices to you. They now told me, Elvis, you want to become a lamp. Out of the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voices. He said, this lightning and thundering and voices is carried by men. Even unbelievers will carry lightning and thundering. And you will come in contact with them. They will give you lightning. Boom! They will give you thundering. Boom! They will give you voices. Boom! You come and meet your guy. Your guy will tell you, since morning you have been doing, foolish man! I don't even like you. I will sack you. That thing is lightning. It's thundering. It's voices. Before you know it, you know sometimes when it comes to, hey, that shame in the home, baby, bye. Want to light you up. Oh my God! You know? And you see, when they begin to thunder on you, and Latin of you and voices on you. What will be you when you take offense? Because why that thundering and everything is coming to you is to save you. It's to make you a lamp. But another voice is waiting for you that you will not follow this thundering. You know, Satan has his own thunder. Satan has his own lightning. He has his own voices too. So when you see someone that have received the lightning and thundering and voices of Satan, you will see someone that has come into offense. When you are coming into offense, you think it's ordinary. Wanting thunder eleni omo. Wanting lightning eleni omo. Wanting voice lori eleni omo. Your guy will carry voice, thunder. Even your brother in the house will carry thunder and voices. Discern it too. When you see seven spirits, it's not for just for you to become power man. No. They are there for you to see thunder, lightning, and voices so that you can submit to it. Only by then. So that you can become a lamp. But you will change. I remember a documentary, sir. And I will never forget that documentary. About a boy who left his house, maltreated by his stepfather. He left. He went to a bush. And he went to live in the bush. He was living among monkeys. I will never forget that documentary. And after living on those monkeys, he was 11 years or 12 when he left. When they brought him back, he was around 20-something years. They brought that guy back. Do you know that that guy could not behave like a normal human being again? That guy was doing like this. He was doing like this. He was crashing like a monkey. He was doing like a monkey. He could not eat normal food again. The food that that guy started eating was banana. Food that you can find in the bush. He could not even take his bath again. A human being, normal human being, without anything, just by looking at monkey, by interacting with monkey, they reconfigure his being. We are looking at Jesus now. We are looking at the Lord. If that guy can be reconfigured by a monkey, hiya, hiya. We are being reconfigured by God, by the Word of God. These things are not ordinary. We are being changed. As we behold, as in a glass, the glory of God, we are changed into the same, not likeness, the same image. Thank you so much.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message from Love Seal Church and that much understanding has dawned upon your heart for to bestow labor in doing and fruiting. Keep in touch with us.